Last worship service of 2017. Last call today. Last call. In the last chapter of the Bible, chapter 22 of Revelation. I want you to turn there for a moment as we get in God's word for a moment. You know, when I, as an unbelieving young adult, when I heard last call, I didn't think about bellying up to the word of God. Many of you can probably identify with me, sadly. I heard last call in my BC days, my before Jesus days, and it always meant to belly up to the bar. Actually, the last chance that night to belly up to the bar and to get one last drink, one for the road, right? Now, we loved it because there were friends and there was the human connection, right? And there was the camaraderie and the brotherhood and celebration. It's like Cheers, right? Everybody knows your name. Oh, but the dark side. The dark side. Too much booze. Drunkenness. Too much testosterone and the locker room bravado and all the rest of it. The brawls, my God. The fights, often with a woman in between, caught in the middle of it, sadly, while the guys went crazy, whacked out, utter stupidity, often couldn't remember in the morning. We just had that happen down around 49th and 7th, just a few blocks from here. A couple days ago, the brawl at Tonic. Guy shot another guy to death, arguing over two women there. Those were the days, sadly. But that was then, thank God, and this is now. This is 2017, so we're going to belly up today. In a new way to the Word of God, to the grace of God, Revelation 22. And I want to look at the last call with a number of last things here that's going to empower us into the new year. Amen? First is the last promise. I want us to see the last promise for 2017. And that is in verse 7. Jesus says, "And behold, I am coming soon." I like it. I like it. "I am coming soon," the Lord says. His promise to return. The promise he made many, many years ago that he would come again and establish his kingdom. Amen, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The promise to come soon. Look at verse 12. Just in case we missed it in verse 7, he says, "Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he's done. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and I am coming soon." Notice verse 20. "He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon." He wants us to remember the last promise as we go into 2018. He's coming. Coming soon. The word soon in biblical Greek is taku. It means I'm coming quickly, swiftly, and it can mean I'm coming suddenly. Why suddenly? Look at verse 10. He said, "Don't seal up the words of the prophecy of the book, for this time is near." It's coming soon because the time is near. The word time here, the time is near, the word time is not the general word for time in biblical Greek, which is chronos. We get chronology from that, just the passage of time, the passage of history. This is a very different word. This is the word kairos. This is a special time, an appointed time, a determined time, a significant time. This is kairos time. And he says, this kairos moment, the second coming, this is near, very soon, very close. And of course, this began to be the theme in Revelation from the beginning. Back in chapter 1, verse 7, Behold, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. The dominant theme of the last book of the Bible, he is coming, and he's going to establish his kingdom. You can go to the bank on it. That's why in Matthew 24, that great passage of the last days, it says, and at that moment, after the tribulation of those days, it says, the sun will not give its light, it will not shine, the stars will fall from the sky, and then the sign of the Son of Man shall appear in the sky. The sign is the glory of God, the Shekinah glory. God, who created the universe, created natural law, the only one that can suspend natural law without destroying the universe, he's going to turn all the lights off. And then the sign of the Son of Man is going to appear. The glory of God is going to appear. And the whole world is going to see that. The whole world's going to see that. That day's coming. It's coming. Maybe 2018. Maybe at the strike of midnight tonight. Maybe, amen? Maybe tonight. So why has it taken so long? Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3, people have been mocking this for 2,000 years. Mocking and scoffing. And he says, the Lord is patient because he desires for no man or woman to perish in their sins, but to all to come to repentance. Any delay that seems like a delay is grace. It's the gospel, amen? Delay for you personally, if necessary. Amen. But the moment will come, like in the days of Noah, when the door will be shut. And he is coming. Thank God he's coming. Amen? Amen. Let's take that promise into the new year. Also, there's a last blessing as well. Back to Revelation 22. Do you see verse 7? Behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the man, the woman who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. There's a last blessing in this last call. Blessed is the man, the woman who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And of course, the words of this prophecy are described in verse 6. These words are what? They're trustworthy and They are true. These are God's words. The words of the Bible in general, the words of the book of Revelation and prophecy in particular, these are words that are trustworthy and true, God's words. And keeping them, there is a great blessing. Amen? Now again, this was the theme from the beginning. Chapter 1 of Revelation emphasizes that in verse 3. To him, Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us a kingdom and priest to God, his Father. And verse 3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear these words and who keep what is written in them, for the time is near. So blessed is the one who reads these words. Blessed is the one who hears these words. Blessed is the one who keeps these words. That's the blessing. We have the privilege right now in this worship service, hearing, keeping these words, and having the blessing and the wonderful grace of God upon us because of our obedience to his word. I was always struck in the Old Testament by the testimony of Joshua when he took over for Moses, and he's got millions of people to lead into the promised land. Can you imagine that job description? Millions of mostly whining people. And the Lord is sharing with him the secret of what it means to be strong and to be able to do the work. And he says concerning the five books of Moses, which was the only part of the Bible then that Joshua had, God said to him, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall Eat it, right? You shall meditate on it day and night. Why? So that you will do everything that's in it. You'll obey. Why? So that you will be blessed beyond measure. Because there's a blessing in hearing and doing the word of God from the heart, not doing it grudgingly, angrily, you know, frustratingly and all that, but doing it from the heart. And that takes a work of the Spirit in the pastor's heart, your heart, to do that. Amen. So let's trust the Lord for that in the new year. There's a blessing with this. If we keep his word, may the new year be the year of keeping his word. Amen. There's also a second blessing mentioned in chapter 22 of Revelation. I want you to see this also. Very interesting. And that is the blessing for washing our robes, interestingly enough. Do you see that in verse 14? Blessed are those who wash their robes so they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Outside are men and women who have basically said, I don't want God's grace. And I was that way for years. I don't want God's grace. But for those who wanted the grace, blessed are those who wash their robes, they may have the right to the tree of life, lost in Genesis and regained in Christ. Amen? Regain that life again. Washing the robes means to trust Christ and his sacrifice for our sins and his resurrection from the dead for our justification and trust him alone and not depend on our own goodness or our own works to get right with God. It's all grace. I was in church many, many times and that message of grace went right over my head. Right over my head until God got a hold of me later. Amen? To wash our robes, to receive forgiveness by putting our faith in him. In chapter 7 of Revelation, there's a whole group of people that are described as having washed their robes in the blood of Jesus Christ, trusting his grace. You see chapter 7, verse 9, after this I looked and behold a great multitude, no one could number them, every nation, all tribes, all people, all languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And so men and women from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, that's awesome to see the eclectic taste that God has for people. He loves all people equally. What a message for our day. Now the church, we don't always do as well at loving all people equally. Sadly. And we need to repent and we need to trust God for this in the new year. Amen. God loves without prejudice. He loves above comfort zones. Amen. We need to appreciate that. Verse 13, one of the elders addressed me, said, who are these clothed in white robes and from where have they come? And I said, sir, you know, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation and they have washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have literally trusted Christ and allowed his sacrifice for their sins to forgive them and to make them new men and new women. It's all about him and his grace to us. Say, yes, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me. The gospel, glory to God. It's interesting in the book of Genesis, after our forefathers sinned and morally rebelled against God, that it says that God made coats from the animal skins and then covered them. In the very beginning, God sacrificed a couple of animals to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve and to clothe them. And that, of course, was the first, really, offering of the gospel, the grace of God. And it's even mentioned in what we call the proto-evangelium in Genesis, where it says that the woman's seed will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. That Satan would bruise the Messiah, but the Messiah would crush Satan. And that was literally the first offer of the gospel. Amen? Right from the beginning. And this is the blessing, the washing of the robes in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's an awesome thing, an awesome thing. And to share that, I was over in the market across the street yesterday getting a few things for my wife. She was getting some dinner together, and I ran over there, and I always carry gospel literature everywhere. You know, I've told you hundreds of stories over the years. I never know when the Lord is going to open up an opportunity, and I'm looking for sour cream. And I see this wonderful young man working there, stocking the shelves, and I can't find the sour cream. I say, can you help me to find the sour cream? He said, oh, yeah, let me help you. He said, takes me right over there, get the sour cream, and I'm going up to pay for it. And then I realize, what am I doing? This guy was, I had a connection here. I turned around, went back. I had this beautiful gospel literature about Mickey Mantle coming to Christ on his deathbed with Bobby Richardson, a dear brother in Christ, leading him to Christ. I took it out, the story of Mickey Mantle, and I said, you know, I want to share this with you, man. I just, this Christmas, my life was changed by the grace of God. I've got a little story here, true story about Mickey Mantle and how he came to know the grace of God, and Bobby Richardson was sharing Christ with him. I'd like you to have this as a gift and read it. He took that, said, thank you. I've done this hundreds of times, thousands of times. You never know what the reaction's going to be. He smiled. He said, this is for me. I said, yes, this is for you. This is a Christmas gift. He smiled and thanked me. You would have thought he was under his own Christmas tree at home opening a present. Just a simple little moment like that. Amen? Inviting him also to know Christ, to wash his robes in the sacrifice of Christ. What a wonderful privilege. I prayed for him all the way across the street, just coming back. Lord, open his heart, open his mind, like you did in my life. Amen. So it's a blessing. This is the final blessing. Keep his word and make sure that you're right with God in Jesus Christ. Wash the robes, share your faith. And that leads to the next last call, and that is the last invitation. Goes right with the last blessing of washing your robes. You see that in verse 16? I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I'm the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let those who hear say, come. And let the one who's thirsty come. Let the one who desires life take the water of life without price. Everybody's saying, come. The Holy Spirit is saying, come to this man yesterday. The church of which I'm a part of is saying, come, come. As he receives it, he's going to, Lord willing, going to be saying, yes, Lord, coming, coming. I'm thirsty for grace. I'm thirsty for forgiveness. I'm thirsty for meaning and purpose and power. What an invitation, amen? Let the one who desires to take life freely without price come. Reminded me of one of my favorite passages that Isaiah is often referred to as the one who preaches the gospel the most explicitly in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 55, I love this. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come buy it. Buy it without any money. Isn't that great? No money. No price, just come. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What a great truth. Often in the church, sadly, we don't always hear the gospel. We hear the fact that we have to earn our way back to God. We have to have religion to get us back to God. And that is a twisting of, that's a horrible lie. Yes, yes. We don't want religion. We want a relationship with God. We want, God has found us. We don't find him. He finds us. That's the difference between Christ and everything else. You don't have to work your way, earn your way, find your way. He's already worked his way to you. He's found you. Embrace him. It's the invitation. Amen. Embrace. Like all great gifts, and this is the greatest of all, just take it. say, thank you. Thank you. Amen. That's the gospel. Glory to God. The last invitation for 2017. Take it. Don't leave here without Christ. Take it. How about the last warning? Back to chapter 22, verse 18. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. The last warning, if anybody messes with the scriptures, with the word of God, the cost is horrific. It's your life. It's literally your life. To mess with this word in general, the scriptures, or in particular, the prophetic passages, to mess with it is to forfeit our life. And I know when we say that in 2017, almost 2018, it sounds so strange. A lot of my graduate studies, doctoral studies, I studied under very liberal academics, theologically oriented people, and you hear all the arguments that the word of God is a joke. I intentionally studied because I wanted to know how to defend it even better. You hear, it's a joke. You can't trust it. Takes you right back to Genesis. In the original temptation of Adam and Eve, our forefathers, Satan, the most beautiful and sophisticated and smartest of all the created beings, he is enticing them, encouraging them to disobey God. And not just disobey God, but to mess with the word of God. Yeah. And so he says things like, you can't trust this God. He says that to me. You can't trust this God. Read chapter 3 of Genesis. You can't trust him because at best, he's ignorant. He doesn't really know what's going on. At worst, he's an outright liar. And he's greedy and he's selfish, this God. And then he basically says, and you can't trust his word either. I mean, it makes sense. If you can't trust the God who wrote the word, you can't trust the word. There's so many inconsistencies. Has God really said? There's so many contradictions. You will not die. You see, this has been going on forever. I've heard it, this word mocked by the people I studied under at times. God is eternal. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's all powerful. He's everywhere present. And we're going to mock his word. You're only willing to mock him and his word if you only worship yourself. Wow. Then the lies continued in Genesis. Can't trust God. You can't trust his word. Therefore, there's no death. There's no hell. There's no judgment. You can be God. And you can have knowledge greater than the scriptures. You can have the occult knowledge. All those lies are right there from the very beginning. And it ends with, don't mess with the word. Amen. Come full circle. Don't mess with the word. You mess with the word, you mess with the author of the word. Jesus is the one we want to listen to. John chapter 6, there were people called disciples. Disciple from the word mathetes, from the verb manthano, to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn is the idea. There were people called disciples when Jesus started teaching certain things. The things he was teaching was so hard for them to accept that they no longer followed Jesus having sat at his feet. You say, how can that be? Because they didn't trust his word. They couldn't handle his word. They didn't want his word. Remember that powerful setting in John 6? Jesus said to Peter and the disciples, he said, this is tragic what's happening here because my words are spirit and life. They're spirit and life. They're turning and walking away from my words, which are spirit and life. And then remember what he said? Are you guys going to walk away too? Remember the answer? Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Yes, sir. Amen?
Yeah.
So we don't mess with the word. We don't mess with the word unless we want to forfeit our life. But we share the word with love. Amen? We speak the truth in love. Glory to God. The last prayer, you see, Revelation 22, verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming soon. There's that promise again that he made, the first thing we mentioned, the promise of his coming. And how do we respond to the promise of his coming? Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Do you see that? That is the last prayer in the Bible. That's the prayer we want to pray right till the ball drops in New York, in Times Square tonight. That's the prayer we want to pray all year in 2018. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Wow. Been praying this prayer through the ages. The persecuted church is praying this prayer. Back in Revelation 6, verse 9, is a picture of the persecuted church in the tribulation. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness that they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? How long before you'll come, you'll avenge, you'll set up a kingdom of love and peace and mercy forever? How long, Lord? And it's always in the context of how long, Lord, we pray, come, Lord Jesus. For the persecuted church and for all those who love his appearing, as Paul said. Amen? Let's love his appearing in 2018. Let's love his appearing. Because the world that he's coming to bring is going to be amazing. Look at chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was gone. No more sea. No, and I love the sea. But you know, the Lord says there'll be a lot of other things to love, right? And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne say, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. What a day that's going to be. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, crying, pain anymore. The former things have passed away, and he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. What a world is coming when we say, come, Lord Jesus. Wow, no more death, no more pain, no more crying, no more mourning, no more sexual abuse of children. No more abuse of women. No more murder, violence. No more horrific fires, burning people to death, destroying entire families. No more mental illness. No more addiction. No more depression. That's the context. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's take that prayer right through 2018. Amen. Meaningfully, personally. And notice finally, we'll wrap it up. And that's the last gift. I love this. We come full circle. We start with grace and we end with grace. Genesis starts with grace and we end with grace. You see, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with everybody. And amen, may it be so. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with everyone. Of course, grace is unmerited favor. It's a gift. It's a gift. A little acrostic, grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. That's nice. Turn back to Ephesians 2 for the last scripture for the year 2017. To appreciate this gift of grace, which is what the gospel's about, we have to appreciate the fact that the gospel is really about two things. It's about lostness, and it's about love. I am lost in my natural state. God is love all the time. I'm lost, and God is love. That's the gospel. That's why Jesus could say, I have come to seek and to save the lost with my love, for God so loved. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. But to really appreciate grace, I need to first of all appreciate how lost am I really? How lost am I really? And how much love does God have really? And I don't know where to go but Ephesians 2 to tell you that. How lost are you and I without Christ? We're dead lost. Dead lost. You see chapter 2 of Ephesians verse 1? And you were what? Dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Dead lost. Spiritually dead, not comatose, not in critical condition, dead lost. Cut off from God, separated from God. God, even in his great love, when he looked on me, Dave Epstein, in my natural spiritual condition of dead lost, you know what he said when he first saw me there? He said, I see dead people. The walking dead. To really appreciate grace, you got to appreciate how lost. Dead lost and recklessly lost. I talked about first call for many of us that we remember. Recklessly lost. You see that in verse 2? Following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we what? Once lived in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. Basically, recklessly lost, destructively lost. That's how lost. And actually, it gets even worse. And we're by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Hopelessly lost. My nature was rebellion, was moral rebellion. Under judgment, hopelessly lost. So that's how lost we are, if you really want to appreciate grace. How loved are we? In the midst of being dead lost and recklessly lost and hopelessly lost, two of the greatest words in the Bible, but God. But God, you see that? Verse 4, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Pure grace. By grace you've been saved. In case we missed it, he says it again. He raised us with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly places. In the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Grace, grace, grace. Amen. For by grace you've been saved through faith. He can't tell us there's enough grace. He can't say grace enough. This is not your own doing. This grace is a gift. It's God's gift. It's not the result of work so that no one can boast. In religion you boast. But I did this, I did that, and God accepted it and all the rest. That's a lie. In the gospel, only God boasts. Yes, sir. Only his grace is a gift. Amen. And we are his, what does it say? Workmanship. You see that beautiful word, workmanship? That's the Greek word that we get our English word for poem or literary expression. We are his literary poem. We are his literary artistic expression. We are God in his grace. We are his masterpiece. We're his magnum opus. The greatest work God ever does is to give us a new life. That is grace. Amen? That God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's the last gift. Grace, grace, grace. Amen? So, it's wonderful. Let's just rejoice. Let's have this grace empower us for the rest of 2018. Amen? Remember the promise. He's coming. The blessing. Let's honor his word. Let's invite others. Let's share the love of God. Let's love and honor his word. Amen? Let's pray for him to come. And let's just bathe every day in grace. Fresh cup of mercy and grace every day. Glory to God. Happy New Year. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. For new life, for hope, for power, for meaning, for a future. And now may we live this next year, Lord, until you come expectantly and gratefully and actively serving you in the power of the Spirit, not in our own power. And we will praise you forever. Touch and save that man or woman here by divine appointment, still without Christ. As many of us were in church for years without Christ. Save that man or woman who's closest to death and hell without Christ. For those of us who know your grace, Lord, may we appreciate again how lost we really were and how much love you really are. And we'll praise you for that as we welcome the new year of our Lord, 2017 and 2018. You're the Lord. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.